I want you to stand and take your Bible. I want you to stretch your legs for a minute. It's 10 after 12. Now, I'm going to be honest. Go ahead, Roy, very quickly.
By grace, if you guys could have come October 13th, I'm sober.
Amen. Amen. Yes. This is Linda Carmichael, by the way. Love you, Linda. We miss these men. We miss them. God's taken some good men out of our church. And we miss them. So pray for us. Pray for these ladies. Lift them up every day, okay? And you visitors, you folks, you mean the world to the people in this church. You do. And we thank God for you, okay? Amen. Ephesians 4. Now, what I was going to say was, when they started singing, I slipped in my office and ate a protein bar. My blood sugar was getting a little low, okay? And it does that now. It doesn't go high much. It just gets low every now and then. If you need to go downstairs, get a little snack or something like that, come back up, I'm fine with that. My wife might bite you when you go down there, but tell her I said so, okay? Okay? Because I'm going to preach until God says we're done, okay? And I love you. That's why we're here, okay? And I'm not trying to rush us out, but I'm not going to cut God short, all right? Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 4, there's one body. Amen? One spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all. Now, if you do what I tell you to do, you've done something already when you're reading this verse. You counted it. There's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Seven. See, the seven spirits of God is what binds us all together. Spirit of knowledge, spirit of counsel, the spirit of understanding, all those things that he mentions. That's what's binding us all together. It's this book. It's the Bible, the Word of God. Where is my Bible? JR, go get my Bible off my desk. Okay? It's this book that binds us together. We're not all here together because we love the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. We're here because we love the Word of God. Okay? One God, one and Father of all, who is above all. And I want you to think about that now. He is above all and through all and in y'all. Look at your Bible. It says y'all. Amen. By the way, you nailed it there, okay? You said y'all from New Zealand. You nailed it, all right? He's in y'all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, some of you are just gleaming today. And some of you are kind of down. So maybe the ones that are down need a little bit more grace than the ones who are just gleaming. Amen? So give them grace. Ask God to give them grace, because maybe next week you'll be the one that's down and you'll need that extra measure of grace. Amen? We always got jealous when we were kids when our sister got one more M&M than we did. Right? She did. Okay? But now that we're all grown up, she can have all the M&Ms if she wants. Amen? Because maybe one day she needs them. Maybe one day I need that grace. But we're all one body. Father in heaven,
bless this body.
Bless these people.
Lord, I'm beyond thankful.
God, I can't express the way I feel and what I see in this place. This probably, Lord, probably one of the best homecomings you've given us. And Lord, it is such a joy. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us all into this place and uniting us all together, calling us by your name, applying the blood to our sins and transgressions, giving us grace, Lord, that enables us to stand when we don't think we can stand. The grace to do things when we don't think we can do it. We don't think we're going to make it. And Father, we just ask God that you bless today. Bless, Lord, you blessed already. We could walk out of here today and say, man, it's good. But Lord, your word is the utmost importance here. And we ask God that you minister your word to us. Lord, to everybody that hears this message, something's going to be different in them. You're going to minister a different way and a different thing to them. And Lord, some people are going to need this and they're going to need that. Father, we trust, Lord, that you'll do what you know needs to be done because you are the head. You really are above us all. So Lord, help me preach this message. Lord, I'm not sure how to do it. So I'm going to ask you, God, to just give me the words. Let it be a blessing to these people in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I normally would have you go around shaking hands, hugging, but we've done enough of that already. Amen. All right. You know, I prayed about this, and I had this on my mind. I started this last Sunday talking about the body and the typology of the human body and the head and all the things like that. And I was praying all week, so I thought, well, maybe I'll preach about the day of the Lord because that's what we was talking about yesterday. And that's kind of the theme of it. But I just really felt like God wanted me to preach about this issue of the body. And as I put all this together and got it all done, and it was late last night, and I was tired, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, if I remember right, I think I might have preached this same thing last year at homecoming. Okay? Is it okay? Okay? I won't charge you for this one. How's that? Okay? This one will be free. All right? But this is just what's in my heart because this is what I see going on here. Number one, I see it when we just have normal church and all you aliens are back home, okay, back on your planet where you belong, all right? When we just have, I see it here. I see the members of the body. I look down this side of the church and I see people that are different than people on this side. Why is it that some people have to sit on this side and some people have to sit on this side? Who knows why that is? But we come in here, we all have our seats and we like to sit in, okay? And I just, but I love that. I love seeing the difference, the uniqueness, different backgrounds, different ways. John told you, he said, this is my first church ever. Never been in another one. So he don't know how to act. So it's our job to train him and teach him. And so far, I think we've done a lousy job. Okay? But, and I thought about this too. Because, here, a while back, boy, I mean, we really hit some roadblocks. I mean, we hit into some problems. God, to me, as the head, God kind of exposed some issues among us. And you know what? I thought about that and I prayed about it and I said, God, man, this person over here's got this going on, this person over here's got that going on, and this person's going on, and I got this going on, and I see it here, I see it there, I see it there. And God just reminded me of something that I've known all along. We are the Isle of Misfit Toys. We're the salvage yard. We've come to this place with baggage, stuff out of our past, things that we're desperately trying to leave behind. See, when you go to a place, you're leaving things back. Some people just move just to get a fresh start in life. They want it brand new, new friends, new place, new everything. And I'm all for that. And they've landed here. And we all have to learn how to love one another, to get along with one another, to pray for one another, and to be there for one another, because we're stuck with each other. And we're not going anywhere. And the devil's just going to have to deal with it. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 4:11. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And he said he did this, number one, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, you get a hold of that. You just grab that one and hold on real tight. You know what that says? You ain't perfect. You ain't. Are not. Am not. You're not perfect. But we're here to get better. The preaching and the teaching and the ministry and everything, that the fellowship, the hugs. Can I pray with you? Can I help out with this? Can I clean this up? Can I do this? Pastor, can I pray for you? Pastor, can I get you a cup of coffee? Everybody's here to do something. And when you love people, you don't mind doing it. When you love the Lord, you don't mind doing it for Him either. Because I need perfecting. And you all, y'all need perfecting. Because we're not there yet. Amen. Until, let's see, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What we do is for one another's good, not our own. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You know what he just said here? We're not there yet. We're not 100% the unified body of Christ, because some of you are going to go back to New Zealand and England and Australia. And God help us. New York. And Georgia. And Tennessee and wherever. Okay? Because we're not, Hillsboro, yeah. We're not all perfect yet. We're not all unified yet. But the trumpet's going to sound. There's going to be a shout. And we are going to be the unified, glorified body of Jesus Christ. Somebody, boy, that's good. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And that man is Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, I'm liking this already. Now, the body, many members. This is what we talked about last Sunday. Many members. I've got hands, I got feet, I got arms, legs, and so on. And I mentioned, you know, last week that even though some of the members look alike, they're not alike. You know, my right leg will not fit in my left socket. It won't work. I'll have to walk backwards. Okay? And this part of the body over here won't work on this part of the body over here. And God put this here, and God put that there, and God put you where you are, and God put you where you are. That means that God loved you enough to at least give you a place in the body where you could be in hell. God gave you a place in the body. So he said in Ephesians 4, now you're going to like this now. Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. Christ is the head. Amen. He's the head. Where's the head? God did not put the head down here on our rump. He did not put it down in our leg. He did not put it under our arm. God put the head above the rest of the body. You just hold on to that for a while. Meditate on that and think on that. We are not superior to Christ. We're not equal to Christ. And we won't be. We are the body. He's the head. He is above all things. Amen. So he's the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. My mind's racing down it in the world. The word joint now has a different word meaning to it. I heard the guy say, he said, at my age, rolling a joint means I twisted my ankle. But that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head. Notice in your King James,
He capitalized the H in head here. That's the first time I've ever seen that. They want you to know it's deity. It's God who is the head. God is in charge. God is the one who calls the shots. God is the one who is above all. And if He's not that way in your life, it's not right. You're trying to be something you're not good at. Not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Now, I mentioned this Wednesday night. I got to thinking about that. And I want you to consider this, okay? In your body, let's see if I can find a picture of it here. In your body, you've got muscles and bones. Everybody say muscles and bones, okay? The muscles and the ligaments and the tendons, the ligaments connect bone to bone. Tendons connect muscle to bone. Now I want you to think about that. How is it that God designed it so that muscle, which is soft tissue, can connect to bone, which is hard, it's rigid, it's sturdy? How is it that God, did He use twist ties? Super glue? JB Weld? Okay? Did He use duct tape? He should have, amen. Sometimes I feel like He did. How did God do that? I got to looking at that and I just went, wow, there it is. But you think about this. Now here's what I want you to think of. Think of us joined with Christ. Because we tend to be the opposite of what Christ is. Think of bones. Bones are strong. By the way, when they crucified Jesus, what would the Bible say about His bones? He's unbreakable. Amen. He's unbreakable. He's unmovable. He's the rigid, sturdy. He's the one that we depend. Listen, without bones, you're a blob. Amen? I don't know how they grow boneless chickens. How did Tyson figure that out? So let's say that Christ is the bone. We're soft. We get hurt easily. We're soft, and the bone is hard. How does that work? I'm going to show you something. Up there on the screen, the wilderness tabernacle, you remember, down the north side, they had 20 boards, flat boards made out of acacia or shittim. It's like the thorn tree. So they had 20 boards going down the north side, and they had 20 boards going down the south side. That's 40. And they had six across the back. That's 46. That's the number of chromosomes. That's where your DNA is. It's where the law book was. Isn't that neat? I love that. But what was it that held the north and the south wall to the west wall? How was that hooked together? Did you use duct tape? No. Exodus 26:23. Two boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the two sides. So on the northwest corner, they put a corner board on the north and a corner board on the west. And that's what held the north wall and the west wall at that corner. And then over in the other corner, in the southwest corner, there was a board on the south wall and a board on the west wall. One here, one there, holding those things together. So one, two, three, four boards. Oh, you're going to figure it out in a minute where I'm going. Four boards holding all of that together. God designed it that way. God did not tell Moses, now figure that out however you want to. It doesn't matter to me. It's no big deal. I'm telling you, God had a reason for everything that He told Moses to do in that tabernacle. And those four boards are what binds that house of God together. You'll get there in a minute. The blood in your body, going to the left side, the legs, the arms, the left ear, the right side, the right, your liver, your right ear gets all big and red hot. Somebody's talking about you. Amen. Right? Ears burning. That blood
is all brought together in the body by the heart, which has 1, 2, 3. And look at Colossians 2:2. That their hearts might be comforted, being what? Knit together. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You see, it's the four chambers that brings all that blood together and sends it back out to the body, brings it back in, sends it back out, and so on. So four boards holding the house of God together, four chambers bringing the blood together. Then you have, here's your Bible. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and a salvation to every one that believeth. Now watch this. Here's Mike Hoggard. He's a sinner. And he is born once under the law. The law has dominion over us as long as we live. So here is Mike Hoggard in the flesh. And that is the Old Testament. Because I'm under the law. Here's Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the sinless, without blemish, Lamb of God. He is the exact opposite of me. Mike Hoggard is of the earth, like Adam. The Lord here is from heaven. And so he represents the New Testament. Grace, mercy. This is justice. We're going to get what we got coming to us. This is mercy and grace, and you can live in heaven for all of eternity. And what joins those two things together? When God came to the earth, He did so in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Where is she? Oh, John back there, okay. When God came to this earth, He was, watch this now, fully God and fully man. The same, amen, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four boards that hold the house of God together are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four chambers of your heart where the blood is. You need the blood. The blood is your life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Your DNA joined together. These two things joined together. Here's the Old Testament, here's the New Testament. They're joined together by those four base pairs. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. That's not the good part yet. So here's muscle tissue, and here's bone. Muscle's weak. It's flesh, right? We are weak in our flesh. Christ is strong. And He bears the burden. He bears the body. What joins them together? You might want to take a guess. There's four things. It's four different zones or layers from the muscle to the bone. And in all four of those, I'm not going to get into it all, but as the muscle reaches over to the bone, the muscle is in the first stage. It's just muscle tissue. The second stage, it turns into like a cartilage type tissue because it's hardening. In the third stage, it starts to get mineralized. It's adding calcium and all those hardening agents. And by the time it's touching the bone, the muscle has changed into bone to connect to the bone. The bone then likewise is changing as it comes from itself, the bone, to reach out to the muscle. It's decreasing in how hard it is. And it goes through those four zones in order for bone to turn into muscle. So what happens is the muscle starts to become like bone. The bone becomes like muscle, and they're joined together that way. Husbands and wives. How you doing, Will? How long you been married to that sweet lady? 14 years. Amen. Okay. When you got married to her in the first year, did you find out some things that you didn't know before you were married? A simple yeah would have been... That would have saved your life. And you learned, when mama's happy, I'm happy, right? So in 14 years, he has become more like you, right? In 14 years, you've had to become more like him. And you're still you, he's still him, but in the places that matter, there's no difference between you. And so they brought their daughter here, who is a little her, little him, and she's now ready to follow the Lord in baptism. Okay? That's how it is in marriage. That's how it is in families. Okay? You four, you're all different. I've known you for years. I've watched you on stage. I've watched how you talk to people. I watch how you perform. Each one of you is different. But when you play, you all play together. Four instruments playing the same thing. Amen? A church. And I've expressed this. In this church, we've had to learn to get used to some of the people coming in here. And they've brought, in some ways, some good ideas, some good things for us to... Yeah, I kind of like that. God added some things that we needed here by adding these people here. And so, us old people in this church have learned how to become more like the new people. While the new people have learned how to put up with us old people that have been here forever, and they start to become more like us. And we're not all exactly the same. I don't want us all exactly the same. Because if we was all the same, you all would be up here preaching with me. Okay? But we all have our uniqueness, but in the places that it matters, God has brought us all together by four things. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because if you want to be in this church, you got to be saved. Amen? You got to know Jesus. You got to know you're going to heaven when He calls your name. Somebody say amen. All right, now, that's not really the message. Okay? Now watch this. Back in Ephesians 4, he says, in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. When I was in Kenya this last time, when I got this stick, okay, when they gave me this, this was a symbol that I was like an elder among their people. The people of Samburu, and I didn't know what it was at first, but when I saw how it was used, whoever holds this has been given authority to speak to those people. This is like, it's like a scepter is what it is. And it bestows authority. That way, what they were telling me is, Pastor, when you speak, our people are going to hear you. And I bawled and I wept and I'm just going, God, what in the world did I do to deserve that? Not a thing. It was given by grace. Amen. So we got people out there that have said to us, when you speak, we're going to listen. Why? Because you're the head. I've been hearing from you people all weekend. Brother Mike, you're our pastor. We sit at home and we pull your sermons up and we watch you and you're our head. When you speak, we listen. Okay? And I had the opportunity to share with the governor of Samburu. I had preached some of this at that church and he was there. He was there because it made him look good. I'll be honest with you. But I thought, he's like a king in authority and I'm like the prophet of God. It's my responsibility to tell him what God said. So I went to him and I said, Governor, let me show you something. Okay? Look up here on the screen. And I illustrated it. I had my hand on his back. I said, Governor, I said, you have 33 bones in your back. That's Christ. That's a picture of Christ, right? Okay? And I said, that's your body. And I said, Governor, the people of this area, they are your body. Just as much as your arms and your legs and your torso, that's your body. These people are your body. And I said, as much as you nourish and take care of your body, you ought to then nourish and take care of these people. You know why I said that? He's a politician. Politicians now are notorious for taking care of them and not us. And that is not their job. That's not their responsibility. It is their responsibility as head to take care of their body. Somebody say amen. We need presidents and governors and congressmen and mayors and representatives that will care about the people and care about their needs instead of themselves. Somebody say amen. And I did this. Now watch this now. See, I just had surgery now on my back. And what, see that where it says nerve root there? I had something getting on my nerves. I ain't gonna say what. That doctor went in and removed it. So, and some of you have heard this. You know where I'm going with this. But watch this now. Here's your head. It's got to communicate with the body, right? 33 bones, 2 nerve bundles coming out of each side of them. What does that make? 66. The head is going to communicate with the body through the word, amen. And by the way, it uses electrical impulses. I don't want to talk about that. The body, the head sends down electronic signals through these nerves. Did you know when God speaks, it sounds like lightning?
I'm just glad He's not thundering right now on me, amen.
But watch this. Here's the head. The head's got to speak to the body. When the head speaks to the body, 66 books right here. But did you know what? Those nerves go both ways.
The body tells the head, we need something. When I was up here on stage a while ago, playing, we was all singing, playing music, I'm thinking, man, I'm getting shaky. My blood sugar's getting low. My head, as soon as they started singing, went to my office, ate a little snack, took care of that. My body tells the head what it needs. If you are not praying, don't be mad at God because He's not taking care of you. What happens when somebody gets paralyzed? The messaging between the legs and the head is cut off, and they can't stand. You have needs. What are you going to do about those needs? You're going to pray. When my body is hungry, it tells the head. When my blood and my muscles and my tissues need oxygen, it tells my head. My head is controlling my breathing right now, doing it even while I'm not thinking about it. My head is governing the issues of my body and taking care of my body. And I'm telling you, Christ is the head and He knows His responsibility. He knows His position. He knows His job. And He is more than willing to supply what it is that you need in your life if you will ask. Somebody say amen. Some things you just got to ask for. Call unto me and I will answer thee. You have not because you ask not. Let's look at the head very quickly, and I'm going to let you go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. You can turn there. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now you listen to me, church. There's a reason why we don't play rock and roll music here. There's a reason why we didn't have AC/DC come this weekend for homecoming. Because the head up there has told us that's not right. We don't listen to that. We're not going to put up with. See, He's head over how many things in the church? All things. God is the one, Christ is the one who tells this body, This is the music we're going to sing. This is the Bible we're going to read. These are the things that we are going to stand for. These are the things that we are going to do. The body is nothing without that head. And you listen to me. If you're trying to live outside of God's Word,
You see, if you'll let God communicate with you, you can communicate with God and God will bless you. How many of you, just reading this Bible, God blesses you, amen. You stand for the Word. God's giving you blessings, amen. He gives you. He answers you. You are His son. What is it that He's going to withhold from you? The Bible says He'll withhold, watch this now, no good thing. The only other place in the Bible that no good thing is used is Romans 7. That is in my flesh and is no good thing. And God will withhold that from us. I love that, amen. That's the head. That's what He does. If we're going to do something in this church, we're going to let God do it. I spent 3 days fasting, praying in the office, 2008. I wanted God to do something in this church. And I told God, God, I don't care. I'm not smart enough to figure out what it is. You have to do that. So we got people from Indiana. We got people from Ohio. We got people from Georgia. We got people from New Zealand and Australia, South Africa. And we've got people from Kenya. We have people from all over the world. Because the head said, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to bless it. Has God blessed you? Say amen. Amen. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. I preached that last Sunday. I'm not going to nail it. But He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, watch this now. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I preached this last Sunday. I'm not going to hit you with it again, but I want you to think about how right that is. Has Jesus not taken care of you? Has Jesus not listened to you when you were angry at Him? You ever been angry with God? And God listened. And He loved you. And He let you say what you wanted to say. And then He blessed you. Do you know what Israel was doing right before God opened up the Red Sea? They were complaining. And God loved them anyway. Because that was His body. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the And folks, if we are held together in this church, it is because God held us together. The atom, what everything in the world is based on, protons and electrons in it, and you know what happens when two north poles of a magnet are next to each other. What happens? They repel. They pull apart. Science has yet to understand what it is that's holding the atom together. Well, you just read it. By Him, all things consist. Jesus is the one. Listen to me. He's the one that held your marriage together. Because the truth of it is, you want it out. Jesus is the one that kept your kids at home because they want it out. Jesus is the one that is holding us together here. Because there's been times when I want it out and you want it out. He did it for us. That's the head. I'm almost done. Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:18, we read this earlier. Now He is the head from which all the body, joints, and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. What does the head do for the body? Number one, the head is responsible for vision. Where are your eyes? Your body cannot make it without the eyes.
And the eyes are on the head.
If we're going to have a vision,
listen to me.
If we're going to have a vision, let's have it from Christ and nowhere else. If we're going to be led by Christ, let's follow His sight and not our own. The head is responsible for hearing, listening to the Word of God, giving us things that we need. The head is responsible for nourishment. Where did God put your mouth? In your head, amen. Christ loves His body. And He knows the needs of His body. He knows we need nourishment. Here I am keeping you from lunch. But He knows, and I know you need nourishment. I know you need food. You need things to keep you going. Do you not understand that the head of you knows your needs? Because you tell Him. He feels the pain.
I've learned a lot about pain this last year. And I learned that where my pain is not just, it doesn't just stay there. It registers in my head. And you guys know, there's been times I couldn't function because I was in so much pain. And it wasn't pain in my head. It was down in my back. But my head said, we're not going to do anything today. We're going to pay attention to this back. This is what we're going to do. And my body needed that. And I promise you, the head knows your needs. Husbands,
the Bible says, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Husbands, know their needs. Know their needs.
It's responsible for breath.
Where did God put your mouth and your nose? By the way, how many ports are there in your body that take in air?
Think about it. 1, 2, 3. The Father, the Word, and the Holy. And these three
are one. Everybody take a deep breath.
It went in your nose and in your mouth. And your body doesn't care which portal it came from. Amen? It just knows it needs the air.
The head's responsible for the decisions. Now you listen to me. I believe in the sovereignty of God.
And I believe that even the stupid stuff that you did, God allowed you to do it. Because He's going to teach you something. He's going to show you something.
It's responsible for speech. God, let God do the talking. Amen? And this is, I'm done here. I know that you need rest. The brain is responsible for the body's rest. Trust me, people. Jesus knows your needs. Amen. And you get to that point where you don't think you can keep going.
God knows it, and I know it. I'm going to shut up. Because I can't keep going and you can't keep going. The head knows when you need rest. Trust me, He's going to give it to you. He gave you a whole day to rest in. And Sabbath was made for man. And not man for the Sabbath. Let's bow our heads.
I don't know what God gave you today. I don't know how God ministered to you today. I don't know how God blessed you. What I do know that if you were ministered to, if you were blessed, then it came from God and not me. And so today, I'm going to ask, number one, if you're here today and Jesus is not your head, I'm going to ask that you come, kneel at one of these benches, somebody will come with you, and they will show you how Jesus can be the head of your life, because you need it. You need it bad. You need it more than you can imagine right now. And you need that. And then I'm going to ask anybody here. God dealt with you today about something. I have no idea what it was. I don't think I preached my best message today. But I know God enough to know that He blesses in spite of me, not because of me.
So maybe if God dealt with you about something today, it's an issue of life going on, or something where Christ hasn't been in charge. You haven't let Christ be the head of your life. I'm going to ask you to just come down here, one of these benches, and just let God do the talking to you today, and you yield and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can stay where you are. You can come down here. I'm not going to try to push or provoke you to come down here, but I'm going to give you that time if God's dealing with you. Would you come?